Fife fans, and welcome back to Scotland's premier Fife-based podcast, Fife Club, where a couple of friends chat about anything and everything that takes their interest, putting their world to rights. What's the first rule of Fife Club?
Talk about Fife Club.
I will just shorten that so it sounds like it was natural.
It's been a while.
Do you even know the rules anymore?
No.
I'll catch up later.
You live by your own rules.
Fuck the rules.
So let's just dive right in. On the mics with my good self, Kutch, tonight is, like Thanos' snap, one flick of his wrist and he can potentially wipe out millions of lives. It's Jamie.
Hello. That's very good. That's the best intro. Is that yours?
Yeah.
That's very good. It's the best intro you've done in ages, Kutch.
I know, I wrote something.
Holy shit.
And next to him is someone that didn't survive the snap because he got wrecked last night and couldn't face up to come to join us. It's the Duster Mark.
I was wrecked last night as well. I saw Mark when I was wrecked last night. I'm still fucking here.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you think Mark was just in bed and he just kind of woke up and his sort of hands sort of begin to disappear? Like, yeah. Mr. Stark, I don't feel well.
And across from him, the other voice you're hearing, a survivor of the snap, the man that built himself a wicker man and was protected inside it, making his first return to us since all the way back in episode 38, it's Original Flavor, host of the podcast, B.
Original Flavor. Can I just say the whole thing about Jamie and then his flick of his wrist and he kills millions of lives? Is that a wank joke?
Yes.
Okay.
Thanks. Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah, I was just cleaning it up for myself. all your listeners.
Beat his back, bitches.
Just ruin.
He's back at explaining jokes already. <He's> like,
thanks for that. So we're here and we've got Beatty. How's life been since you last were on the podcast? Over a year ago?
All right. Yeah, it's been cool. Fine.
Been up to anything?
Just sitting about.
Sitting about. All right.
Your beard is more luscious now.
I am actively growing it. But it's surprising how much it needs to be trimmed.
Yeah.
Like, it does get on really very, very quickly.
I just don't bother, obviously.
Yeah. So, just going to grow it a little bit longer, and then, keep it like that length.
No. I was only really joking about your beard, but you had full beard explanation.
Yeah.
Fuck me. We actually do need Mark, because he'd be giving us all his little new beard man tips where he discovers things like eating cream eggs doesn't work.
Just wait until he has candy floss.
Anything that's not completely solid is just a nightmare.
We keep getting little updates from him, just like, guys, egg roll, that doesn't work.
Did he update you on the beard dye situation?
Yeah. Looked like a Greek waiter.
I did see that photo of him on the Facebook page for Fife Club, and it did look like it had like two sort of fangs.
You didn't recognise him?
I didn't recognize him.
You were like, who's that in the photo? It's Pimpin.
That stupid b-boy hat on.
Oh, dear.
Actually, it's quite good now. I've got a little streak of grey, but it's not enough to make me dye it, and I don't think you get ginger hair dye.
Who would want it?
Sorry, fluorescent workman fluorescent orange hair dye.
See in the dark.
I don't know. I just stand at the edge of roundabouts and warn other drivers of potential hazards.
Flash your beard. Yeah. Should you keep it behind like a little veil and then just sort of like. Drop it down as a car comes.
Yeah, if they're speeding.
You're like that guy. Calm down, mate. You're like that guy who used to get out of Limbank instead of a traffic light for his chippy and press the button
the light.
And then laugh at all the cars stopping.
I did not even know that was.
At the Arnold Clark garage. Yeah. He was a fixture of my childhood. Yeah. The guy was fucking hilarious.
He was one of the sort of
day release guys from Limbank, the mental hospital for people not
the
from
town. Him. And he would press
get
the button.
A chippy. Press the button
and then sit back
the road.
And then just watch as the all the traffic at rush hour as well. Yeah. Like all the traffic came to a standstill and just laughed. Oh my
God. I thought he was fucking amazing. Oh, yeah. I was like, this guy's a legend.
Just absolutely brilliant.
Was his TV broken? Is that why? I've got a chippy, I've got nothing else to do, so I'm gonna go play with the traffic.
Quite literally play with the traffic. Good times. Oh, Dunfermline.
Does he still do it? Or
no,
it
just, I think he's probably dead or something.
Yeah, they got rid of most of his stuff at Limbank as well.
His TV got fixed.
He discovered the internet and now he's just trolling people online there.
Disco Deke killed him in the battle for...
for town legend.
Yeah, pretty much. Jim Leishman better watch his fucking back.
Oh, gosh. Golly, golly, gosh. Content.
Oh,
where are we this week with content?
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about Endgame.
Yeah.
But not, so you have like 2 minutes while we talk about other stuff.
To try and make sure that it's not entirely Endgame-ish.
Yeah, we're going to...
Probably buffer it with like a spoiler warning.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is your first spoiler warning, right? Yeah.
We'll try and give a quick review of it.
Non-spoilery.
And then, yeah. then fuck yous.
So, but first... some other news. So, yeah. Last night, Saturday, at the Alhambra, there was...
local news.
So well timed. Are you going to move that around as well? Like, fucking hell. There was a fight night on at the Alhambra, Art of Combat, an MMA night, and people from my gym, Food Dog, were fighting, and from my old gym, Braveheart, were fighting.
Yeah.
Quite a few of them on, like, 2 days' notice.
Yeah.
Because there's always tons of pullouts at these things, and people
just checking out and stuff as
well. Well, maybe partly, but also people getting injured, or you know, mainly people getting injured. Mm. I think, given benefit of the doubt, but
well, it's always good to kind of practice safe sex by pulling out.
I knew as soon as I said it, I was like, one of these cuts is going to make a pullout. It's guaranteed.
Sugar word.
Yeah. So, congratulations. Quite a few guys won, quite a few lost. Mm-hmm. I'm sure Sean Stroud won.
Yep, he did.
Sean from Food Org won.
Yep.
I think John Gilfillan lost from Braveheart. Mm-hmm. And I think Ross lost from Food Org. And I think Blair won from Food Org. Mm-hmm. And there's someone else from Braveheart I'm forgetting. But congratulations to everyone. And it's good to have... because Art of Combat's been away for a while.
It has been, yeah.
So it's good that the MMA, you know, regional MMA scene in Scotland still doing all right.
Still thriving. And there was also an absolute classic knockout. A 2 second knockout.
2 second knockout.
The video of it's supreme.
Yeah, it's very funny. Yeah. It's the guy just sort of runs straight into him and the guy just hits him and that's it.
That's
2 seconds, official record, 2 seconds knockout. Oh boy. Oh boy.
Replicated many times, it said Pizza Boy.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it is like fights outside Pizza Boy, but with like sick groundwork and shit.
Yeah. Rather than 20 minutes of girlfriends screaming at one another.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't usually end in submission outside Pizza Boy.
No, not no.
How do they set up then? Like, because Alhambra's not really... it's not an arena.
To my shame, I've never been to Art of Combat, even though it's in my hometown, but I've been to other regional MMA shows outside Dunfermline. But it's they put it on the stage. As far as I can tell.
Yeah, no,
because it's at an angle. The stage is at an angle, like all stages are. So, yeah, you can see it pretty well.
You've got a rake on the floor and...
yeah.
It's on there. And then you've got some tables sat round the stage, the big money tables, basically.
Yeah. I suppose if you're high up, even on the balcony, you probably see quite...
Yeah, balcony's probably your best bet, actually. And then...
you want to be high.
I don't know if they have any screens. Probably not. Because a lot of these shows do video it, but they don't... they don't have a screen
have
up.
A screen,
they're just doing it for DVDs and stuff. But that'd be useful for groundwork.
Yeah.
Because even at UFC, I've been at UFC shows and it can be hard with the cage because the fence obscures it as well. It's hard to see ground. And then you look at the screens to see what's, going on.
However, the one of the best ones, so in Dublin we were quite close.
One second, B has a very quizzical face.
What are you drinking?
Tea.
With no milk?
Yeah. No milk or no sugar.
I probably started doing this about like...
A year ago,
probably.
He's fucking weird.
So...
I just woke up one day and I genuinely tasted it and I didn't like it. And I used to drink it like this when, because I'm so lazy, if I ran out of milk, I'd quite often just have black tea for like half a day.
I worked with a guy and basically he just woke up and just couldn't drink milk anymore.
Yeah, well,
No,
I can still drink milk. It's just, it feels weird and in my tea it feels... muddy. It's like I don't know how to describe it. So then,
was it like a gradual thing or just like overnight?
No, it's just like overnight. But I have always drank black tea due to my laziness of not going to the shop anyway. So it's not a big change. It's just like
See, I'll drink black tea in absolute desperation. Again, no milk and
but I quite enjoy it. I used to put a little bit of honey in it, little bit of honey.
Yeah, I would have
but I don't even do that now.
Pack it full of sugar for it to be any good. And I don't normally have sugar in my tea, so I.
Mm.
No. Anyway,
Side quest.
I was going to say, when we saw UFC in Dublin, our seats were pretty good.
Yeah. Because of my absolute panic buying.
Yeah. They were relatively close and whatnot. But the angle, we actually had a better angle at Glasgow when we were up in the heavens.
Yeah.
Because you
were
looking almost straight down on top and you didn't have as much of the cage in the way.
Yeah.
Again, it's a weird thing that we're actually sitting further back can be a.
Yeah,
Further back and higher up can be a better position for it. But I think like looking at the setup at the Alhambra, it's probably all right for it. Quite like the setup we had at Kirkcaldy at the Ice Arena as well.
It was good. Yeah. I think there's another arena show coming.
Yeah,
because I think there was going to be one in Kansas, but I think there's another one coming now. So yeah.
There was supposed to be one back. Was it October? But Stevie's last fight came along, and it just.
I don't know exactly. That was the only reason.
No, but I think that was one of them. Ended up being a bit.
Yeah. So we're doing another show. So yeah, hopefully we'll get
some more
in Fife for a couple of shows a year.
I don't blame you for not going to Alhambra though. The prices of the tickets there have gone like extortionate recently.
Yeah.
What was it I was speaking
they
to?
They do get, to be fair to them, they do get like fairly big acts in that you would never have gotten Dunfermline.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
comedians and stuff who aren't, you know, they're like live at the Apollo comedians. They're not my cup of tea, but it's kind of good for coming in. But, you know, they're going to be like, well, I'm not going to take a massive cut to my ticket price to.
Yeah.
Like
how much? I was speaking to Kirsty and she said.
Garbage. 50 quid.
50
yeah, I know.
Yeah.
But.
For the Alhambra, and it's like.
But then it's garbage, and I don't know, like, a part of me goes, if I had 50 quid, I would probably go pay it, because it's Charlie Manson and Butch Vig.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
When I grew up, I didn't want to pay 50 quid for garbage.
Oh, you stupid girl. and that's the only two songs I can remember.
You're just paranoid.
I'm only happy when it rains. I'm just going to straight up just say it. No leader, just, yeah.
Version 2.0.
that Bond song, whatever it was.
Oh, yeah, their later stuff wasn't great. Well, they just kind of went like a wet fart.
They released an album last year, or the year before, which was actually okay.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It just sounded like a garbage album.
Yeah.
But that's kind of a problem because it's like a garbage one with slightly updated production, but it's like, oh, it's weird. It's like the Breeders brought out an album. Sounded, it just sounded like a Breeders album. And I quite enjoyed it, but I was like, I enjoy this, but I don't feel it's good enough to like hit a bar because it's like, it's a Breeders, it's just a Breeders album.
Yeah, it's not doing anything different or changing it up. It's
still
like,
enjoyed it.
Paint by numbers.
It's like when you see a band bring out like a new song like Feeder or Ash or, you know, like
Weezer or someone.
Yeah, and you can listen to it and you kind of want to enjoy it, but you end up just going back and listening to their old stuff again. You know?
Think we're gonna make it.
Yeah, you see,
that is Feeder through and through, though. Yeah.
Just the Days on my on my morning playlist. So if it comes on the shower, I get very excited.
Yeah,
I do a little Thanos snap.
Flick of the wrist.
Oh.
Fair dues. It's annoying me. There was something that I was going to mention local. Absolutely cannot remember what it was.
Quality broadcasting. Yeah.
It's great stuff.
You've made me feel...
Pizza toilet? Nah.
Mossmorran.
That's been going again, hasn't it?
Yes. I think they're just winding up.
So is Grangemouth as well.
There's a guy bored at Mossmorran, all right, who controls the flare, and he's like, Ken, what? I'm going to wind these cunts up. it's like you're sitting there bored and you're playing like with a lighter. Like,
yeah. I can see the other night when it was cloudy in my bedroom it was like half the sky orange.
Yep.
So I could only imagine what it's like, and that's in Dunfermline Pickorfitt. I can only imagine what it's like in Cowdenbeath. Yeah. You know?
So I know a few folk that live really not that far away from it, and it's the noise, vibration in their windows, like the light itself, heat as well, like you can feel the heat coming off it.
I've driven close to it when the heat when it was flaring, and you can feel the heat. Yeah, it's like, holy shit. Like,
It is fucking hot. But
H-A-W-T.
Yeah. Hort. But yeah, I think it is just causing a lot of, like, issues. I think there's...
This is a petrochemical plant for people
who don't know.
Yeah. It flares off. Essentially to stop it blowing up.
Yeah.
So, you know, are these cunts all complaining? It's like, no, you'd be dead. No, I'm only joking. Yeah, they have a right to complain.
No, absolutely. I think it's disturbing their lives, basically, making a big impact on them. And it's something that really needs dealt with and sorted. But
at the same time...
They're on their final warning, I believe.
Oh, they've been on their final warning time and time again. That's the problem.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is that, like, they have to flare in order not to blow up, essentially, or not to ruin their product, one or two. Yeah. But the thing is, right, if it did blow up, both Grangemouth and Mossmorran, right, Cowdenbeath and Grangemouth gone.
Yeah.
Is it so bad? Is it so bad? And then no one's complaining either. It's a double win.
Never mind the environmental disaster that we've got on our hands as well. But
I know a few guys from Cowdenbeath. You know I love you. Grangemouth, if you're from Grangemouth, you can fuck off.
It is mental, though, because it's that thing that if something goes wrong, because it's just a continuous high stream, like high power stream of gas coming into it, they can't stop it because it's just always coming through. And if they stop it, it blows. So they have to burn it. And again, it's this thing, they don't want to be burning it because
they're losing
millions of pounds of product.
And the thing is, if the whole place isn't safe, it closes down and then thousands of jobs go.
But you know, people will get re-employed.
I'm usually all for the green argument and leaving as much in the ground as possible, but there aren't enough alternative to petrochemical products yet. I'm all for, like, no oil gas stations, changing cars, all that, but plastics and things, as bad as they are, there's a lot of applications for all sorts of things, and we've not come up with good enough alternatives, and that'll take time.
And that's what Mossmorran is. It's a gas cracker, isn't it?
It's cracker,
basically separates it all into its individual bits so they can make plastic.
I've almost got the cracker theme in my head, but I can't quite remember it. I can see the intro sequence.
I've got Bergerac now.
Isn't it some meat city for cracker?
Something like that.
It's exactly like
one way down a runway road.
One way street.
Aye, that's it. Ah, well. Right. Anything else? What else have we got to talk about? Batman.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Apex Legends quickly.
Games in general.
Actually, I was going to ask, that's a good question. Is there a game that you've ever played and just thought, wow? Like, because I got that recently, because I bought World War Z. Z? I can't remember.
It should
Canadian or British.
It should
right
be
now.
Z.
They'd say Z in Canada as well.
Yeah.
It should be Z for three, but
Z.
Not Z.
It's not a particularly great game, but at points there are just literally thousands of zombies running at you. Anyone playing the level? And they just you can see them in distance as well, and you can actually shoot them in distance. They're not just like background.
Oh, really?
They're not just like background animation. They're actually NPCs in the background being rendered and running towards you.
Bloody hell.
And you just stand on top of something and look like a turret, and you're just watching like thousands of these things running towards you. And you're just kind of going, that's pretty damn good. But it's literally that's the whole premise the game's built on, is you know the scenes from the movie when they're building like zombie mountains? They've always went, I can make a game out of that.
So
it's sort of like a Horde kind of style.
Yeah, definitely. And it's you do just all just have pitch in, and it's like it's almost like Left 4 Dead sort of co-op style. It's just it just doesn't hit the kind of the playability of Left 4 Dead.
Yeah, right. Left 4 Dead was really good.
That
though.
That was good fun.
That's pretty much all other zombie games are like, I don't really care about.
It just doesn't quite hit that playability of that, but it's just that whole kind of that scene, and you're just like, wow, that's pretty impressive. Just thousands of them just running towards you, and then they disappear on a hill, and then suddenly you'll see them coming over the hill again, and it's like,
I saw a headline from it, and it's a review, and it just said it's it's much better than the film. But I was like, that doesn't tell me much.
That film was shit.
I read the book, or I read most of the book, and it was, the book's really good. Did I read it all? I've read most of it anyway.
It's based on a reporter going around the world, isn't it?
Like, yeah.
Little snippets. But then the movie's nothing like that.
No, it's nothing like the book.
And then the game's nothing like the movie. So it's just like, yeah.
It's just got a name on it and zombies.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah.
It's I think who made it, it's Paramount. So Paramount's just whoring out the name, basically.
Yeah.
But it's weird. Like, why a game now? The movie's been out for like...
for almost 10 years or something.
And it wasn't
particularly...
it's not like a cult classic or anything. It's just a movie.
I believe, is there not...
there was chat of a sequel, but I don't know if that fell through.
I think I have a feeling that one of the myriad of streaming services there are today is doing a series. I might be wrong, but
I think you're right. Actually, I think it's supposed to be more close to the book as well.
That'd be better.
The reporter going across the world and
where all of Scotland's population fit in Edinburgh Castle. Something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. Once I get past the tourist, there might be enough space.
Have you seen this? There's a video going around of this woman, this tourist in Edinburgh, and she's on Princess Street, you know, at the corner where the Piper usually is.
Yeah.
And she's like thinking to take a picture, and this old woman walks diagonally. It's clear. The street's clear. Mm-hmm. And then this old woman walks diagonally towards her, and then just elbows her like out of the way, even though she's walked into her. And it's like, and at first people were like, well, tourists in Edinburgh, they deserve it. But at the same time, there were people like, wait a second, she's walked across the street. And some people put up on Reddit, and there was a few other people waiting, wait a minute, she's done this to me. I've seen this old woman, she's done this to me. And a few other people claiming that's happened to her. So look out for this old woman in Edinburgh.
That's just knocking tourists out.
Yeah. Oh.
Got to have
maybe
a hobby.
Just do it and just wait for her to attack. And it's like, what the fuck are you doing?
It's maybe a... it's maybe the spirit of the guy that used to sit outside Arnold Clark pressing the buttons for the lights.
Yeah, the OG trolls of Scotland before, you know, anonymous internet hit.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Yeah, so game, has there been like a game you've just kind of played and went, wow, that's impressive?
I mean, I always remember Halo.
Yeah, I was just about to say the first Halo.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because I think that was the first time a game had properly brought that cinematic kind of quality and style to
Metal Gear Solid maybe before it.
Yeah, maybe.
Halo, when you actually land on Halo. And
yeah, that's what I was thinking of, when you fall out.
Yeah, that
the,
first, and like how rich, I mean, although even if you went back now, and we have done, it looks a bit kind of, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not great.
No, it's not great, but at the time, it was like...
yeah,
it felt pretty kind of like... real, I suppose. I remember like somebody saying it's like when you get down onto the ring world, first thing to do is look at the grass, and it was just like, all right.
Yeah,
and then
I remember that because when I bought my Xbox just to play that, and we took it back to my house and we did that.
Yeah, yeah, and it was just like, oh, holy shit, that is awesome. It wasn't, but
but it's just a texture, you know. But the fact that the games nowadays have grass that kind of moves. Depending on like, you know, wind and weather and stuff. But I remember you look up in Halo and they can see the kind of perspective of the ring.
The ring moving away up, yeah.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
The flood as well in the library.
Yeah. Oh,
and
God,
just pouring out, and you're just like firing for minutes on end. Yeah, just trying to clear them out, you know.
Panic firing everywhere, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that was good.
No,
yeah.
That's always, like all of the Halo games as well had moments which always made me go...
Yeah.
And like particularly memorable, like sort of fights and firefights and stuff throughout them as well, where, you know, sort of certain sections that.
You can always remember them as well. There are a lot of good fights. And like I've been playing Division 2 recently, and it's like set in Washington, and it's crazy because if you just run about on your own, not actually fight anybody, it feels like a city that's just empty.
Yeah.
It's just weird. You can hear stuff in the background and weather and. There's like, it's just garbage everywhere, you know, little fires and everything. It's just like, how much time does it take to just do, like, you know, who decides where that bag of rubbish goes or where this burnout car goes? And it's just crazy.
Yeah. I remember in the first Division and like comparisons to where it was based, you know, mm-hmm. like actual maps yeah. and things. What game is it? Is it the new Forza that has Edinburgh?
Edinburgh in it, yeah. Yeah. It does a bit of a Project Gotham too mm-hmm. and brings us Edinburgh. But it's weird because you're kind of driving, it's an open world map, isn't it? And you're driving about and then suddenly you just are in Edinburgh.
Yeah,
yeah. And it's sort of like the, it's like that square mile type thing, you know, the city centre.
Yeah.
So you're not sitting in traffic jam on
the bypass.
Yeah. On the bypass, yeah, no.
Yeah,
there's been a crash at Hermiston Gate. It'll be ages.
Oh, traffic's at a crawl at Babberton. that could be a challenge on its own. Get back in less than 10 minutes through terrible traffic on the bypass.
I've seen things like from that as well, like pictures of the bridges, but it's like the construction of the bridge is horrid. Yeah.
It's just like this little... Oh, yeah, it's crazy photos.
Yeah.
It's not really meant to be viewed from close up. It's supposed to be just something you kind of catch as you're going around the map, essentially. Sort of, but it looks glimpses. It's horrible. Essentially, the bridge, it's too low. It's pretty much in the water, like right in the water.
Oh, really?
And it just leads into like mountains. So, like, Forsyth and North Queen Street just don't exist. But I know for a map like that, you have to scale a lot of stuff down.
Yeah. It's kind of cool, though, that they can do that and... I think I watched a sort of playthrough, and it was a developer who was from Edinburgh. One of the developers of the game was from Edinburgh, and it was sort of like, yeah, he was like really chuffed at how, you know, how much work had gone into it and how, you know, how much done, like the.
I remember driving around the grass market and all that, and that was quite good. And you can even drive up Arthur's Seat.
Really?
Yeah, you can drive up it. It's a bit, yeah. It's not like a full scale replica of Arthur's Seat, but yeah, there's. There's like, I think Arthur's Seat, there's like kind of farmland at the top of it and stuff. It's that kind of Forza type farmland. To go up and find like just a random house and then stuff like that. But it is kind of cool. And you do get quite a good view when you get to the top as well. It's quite good.
Come a long way since Fourth Bridge was in the background in GTA.
was it
San Andreas?
San Andreas. Yeah,
one of them.
I think, yeah. I'm trying to think if there's been anything else.
I've got a stand thing, and I've had them up at tables, but I'm on a couch and it feels very professional. I feel like I'm Fraser Crane or something. I'd make you Roz and BE Niles.
No, I'd be that sports coach.
Bulldog.
Yeah, I'll be a bulldog. Yeah, you can be. Yeah. Kutch is Roz, I'll be built up.
Oh, that means in later seasons we have to shag Kutch. Sorry, bad news.
Again?
Or good news?
And then, so you've made me feel like that all professional, and you're like, oh, I had stuff. What did we have stuff to do?
I was trying to think, like, again, one of the best games I've played in a long time, I keep talking about it, is Breath of the Wild. It's absolutely.
I feel bad.
Stunning.
I thought you were thinking about, like, new, different content on to. I feel bad about it.
Form my sentence, really. But thanks for bringing that
up,
Jamie.
I would love to play it, but the prices of Switches are just not going down.
No, and the games are, you know what? The games are extortionate, and it's because they're on those fucking memory cards.
Yep.
And then the games on the stores like tend to keep the price as well. Just saying, I've only just bought Doom. Which is what, a 2.5-year-old game now, something like that?
Yes.
Yeah, it's 2016, wasn't it?
And it's still £50, but they brought it down and they had an Easter sale and it came down to like £20. So I was like, oh, yes, finally I'll buy it. But £50 for when it came out, it was probably about a year and a half. I was just like, I'm not paying £50 for a game that's a year and a half old.
I mean, periodically I look at prices to see, oh, come on, it's like a few years old now, it must have gone down and there must be a lot of budget titles, but no, it's like Breath of the Wild, still full price.
But then they don't need to because people are still buying it, that's the thing.
There's a few other ones, like I'm not really bothered about the Marios, I'm not bothered about the sort of, you know, Marios and like other kind of really Nintendo games. Is there a Metroid Prime game out for it?
No, there's a. It's in development. It actually just got canned. The developers have been working on it for like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
And then they came out with a statement the other day and just went, it's absolute hot garbage. We're starting from the beginning.
Yikes.
But it was, they were kind of just out and out honest, because people were expecting like a E3 announcement.
Shit.
And they just came out and were just like, nah, look, we've fucked it. It's not working. So either going ground up. So it's probably going to be another couple of years yet.
But people will wait. And
super excited for that because I love the Metroid games.
Yeah, they were good.
They were absolutely great.
But apart from that, there's not really many games I want to play. And every time I see announcements for like, oh, exciting news for the Switch, it's getting this game coming to it. It's like, I've already played that on Xbox One.
But see, that's why I'm quite enjoying it, because like I've missed a lot of games because I just stopped playing my Xbox.
Yeah.
Like I just didn't have the kind of time to sit in front of it. Whereas the Switch, that portability aspect lets me take it away with me, like, you know, like I can sit and play it on my break at work. It's great for picking up and just playing, you know, 20 minutes, half hour here and there.
I think doing for £20 is quite a lot. I bought it originally when it first came out on disc, like, and played it to death, and then
You loved it, didn't you?
Oh god, it's one of my all-time favorite games,
which is why I've been so keen to play it as well. Like as soon as it was released, I was like, I want that.
It's just fun, it just works. It's actually quite a good story if you dig around.
Well, I mean, I'm only just at the beginning of it, and I'm enjoying the combat already. Like there's a lot of sort of like fire and forget, but then there's also the melee, the special brutal attacks, which make it feel fast.
Glory
kills, that's it.
Yeah.
Makes it feel like really kind of fast and like, you know, you're just battering your way.
It's almost like a rhythm game. It's like you have to kind of run, shoot, and as you kill people, you get health and stuff.
Yeah.
That then change on the next enemy, do the same, get health.
I read a quick review of it, and basically the guy was just saying, like, if... what you do need to do, and like what you said, is you need to find your rhythm, because if you stop, you're dead.
Yes.
It's like you just need to keep moving.
Yeah.
Moving, fire, forget.
Because if you don't kill enemies, you don't get health or ammo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't just stop behind a rock and just wait to kind of recharge. You have to kind of keep moving. And and it is. I genuinely want to play it again now, actually. But it's actually quite a good story in it. It's kind of goes into who the Doomslayer actually is, and there's like a different, it goes into different realms and stuff like that. And apparently there's going to be even more of that in the new one, Doom Eternal.
Yeah,
which
is coming to the Switch as well.
Yeah.
Apparently on launch day, which is good.
It's going to be a launch title for the Google.
Yeah, for Stadia, although they were testing it on, they said they were testing it on that, but actually they've been testing it on the last one on Doom 2016,
whatever
it was called. But, I just wanted to say very quickly before we move on, two games I thought of with those sorts of moments. Halo again, but other two, Sonic 2, the special stage.
Oh, yeah.
With where you're running down the half pipe.
Yeah.
3D. Yeah, I was like, holy shit. And then in a similar note, on my mate's and then on a similar note, I think it was released in the UK as Starwing. But I think it was released as Star Fox everywhere else on the SNES.
Mm-hmm. All right,
The 3D flyer one.
Yeah.
That was like using the 3D, chip in the cartridge thing.
To boost it, basically,
Yeah. And
I played that on the SNES Mini recently, actually.
Did you?
It was
I bet it looks... It's basically just wireframe polygon,
like,
isn't
it? Yeah, it's like five polygons per second. It's horrible. And then there's no... voice chat either. It's like
but I remember playing, like, seeing that for first time and like, holy shit, this is... but that was the way that games went, like 3D and stuff.
Polygons, you know? That's how it all started. Absolutely.
And then you got like Virtua Fighter as well, which is a massive fighting game fan. That was, I think, the first game where you actually you fought in 3D as well, so you could switch around, which almost all fighting games have dropped now because it's just really shit.
And it didn't really work all that well.
Although what is good for is that you can like shift the way it punches and stuff, but it just becomes annoying.
It is only like your UFCs and your wrestling that are still games that are like that.
UFC's the only one that really does it well. So those were my things.
Yeah, it's when they moved from sprites to polygons.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, wow, we can actually do it. But I mean, they still look like garbage. But
I saw someone asking Ed Boon if he'd ever, because one of the revolutionary things, Mortal Kombat as well. Mortal Kombat like 1 and 2 and
just
3
the originals,
were video.
Yeah,
it was like, digitized video.
Yeah.
It wasn't, wasn't animated like Street Fighter. And I was like, holy crap, you know, and that always gave that sort of, even though it was ridiculous, it gave it a sort of real edge. And someone asked Ed Boon, is like, would you ever consider going back to video? He's like, do you know what? We actually did some tests of that a few years ago, but we didn't like it. So
apparently, there's a dude that's done like a proof of concept for it on YouTube. So it's like essentially he's recorded folk dressed up as the characters, and then kind of in an HD kind of fashion and put it to a video. And apparently, it does look pretty cool, and it would be kind of awesome if they went back and gave that a bash.
Yeah, I think it would be cool. I think they've decided to go for their sort of chosen art style now, though.
Yeah,
which they sort of settled with Mortal Kombat 10, and now they've just been making it better and better. But
yeah,
quite a lot of outrage about Mortal Kombat 11 and its microtransactions.
There's a microtransactions.
I thought it wasn't going to have any apart from like fatalities.
No, apparently someone added it to buy all cosmetic items and avoid any grinding to get them. It was about $6,000 plus.
Holy shit.
It's crazy, yeah.
But can you still grind to get them?
You can still grind to get them, yeah. And I don't know why you'd absolutely need to have every single little cosmetic item in the whole game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the whole point is that, like, for people to know, it's like you can have mix and match things from different costumes in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you can have like the classic Scorpion costume mixed with stuff from, you know, all sorts of new ones.
But, I watched Angry Joe show on YouTube quite a lot. He does a lot of like really quite honest reviews, actually.
Yeah,
and he gets very angry about that. And there's a lot of sort of controversy about there's like a tower type thing. You remember the tower?
Yeah, like
tournaments. And like even some of the best Mortal Kombat players aren't able to complete the harder ones at the moment, and it's almost like incentivizing you to pay. Get better, because I think you skill or get better or different.
Yeah, like pros and stuff can't do it.
Yeah, like suppose
Jesus Christ,
they're struggling and it's just too hard, and it's almost like, oh, it's too hard. Well, what happens if you pay this? You might get a costume that gives you like plus 10% speed or. I don't know that's it, but that's essentially what it is, and it's like that's pretty shitty.
Because I was
from Ed Boon and
see that's
guys.
Not cool. To be honest, I don't mind microtransactions. Although, if your game costs so much. And it's a bit much. I think
if you're paying £50 for a game, which you are for Mortal Kombat,
you
it's really shouldn't game. Be paying anything.
But
else.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it so much if it's only for cosmetics.
Mm.
Like it really doesn't bother me, especially if you can work to get them as well.
Yeah,
which is what Overwatch does, and something like Apex Legends doesn't do quite so well. But that's because Apex Legends is free.
Yeah,
whereas Overwatch used to be paid, but it's probably going free to play at some point this year or early next year.
Aye, because you paid like 30, 35 quid for it or something.
More than that. When it first came out, it was
full fledged.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you can't play the game the way you want to play it without spending more money.
Yeah, that's different.
That's a really shitty practice.
That's not good.
Yeah, pretty scummy. But it's like, I've been watching a lot of videos about, like, id Software, you know, the original guys who did Doom.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's
like, you called them id. We were talking about this because they did it at the Stadia thing. They called them, they kept calling id Software. It was like
ID.
I've called them ID my whole life. Yeah. And then I looked at their logo and it is a small I and a D. I was like, shit, it is id.
Yeah, it is.
Fuck, I've been saying it wrong all these years.
And just some of the stuff that they did like years ago, like they were fuck the man.
Mm.
And then they started releasing like on like free, you know, the business practices were really quite good. And it's like if a company like id started doing microtransactions in their games, like you could play Doom, but you know, if you wanted like the original, you know, Doom outfit, you'd have to pay such and such, or if you wanted, you could only have like 10 glory kills per level.
Yeah.
If you wanted to get more, you had to buy them. It's like,
yeah.
If they did it, that's pretty shitty. I didn't expect that from Mortal Kombat guys, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's money, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's, and every, if you know, every, although EA keeps getting bitten by it, they keep trying it, and then people going fucking tits at them. Bringing in their microtransactions.
But the thing is, there's probably
I kind of thought we were seeing the end of it in paid games because there
after
was a bit
Battlefront,
of a
the Battlefront backlash.
There was a
things,
bit of a backlash, and some games stopped, and then you obviously had things like PUBG and Overwatch, and now Apex
but Overwatch,
Legends.
Overwatch, you can work to get everything, whereas in Apex Legends, you can, but it takes a lot longer. Whereas in Overwatch, every time you level up, you get a loot box.
But,
so it's not so bad, you know.
But I think it's like, that thing where it's you, because these games have come along and have been
and
doing
it's
this successfully,
this
successfully, all the bigger developers and all their big, you know,
big franchises. Mm. They're just like, well, let's just start sliding this back in because people are willing to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
Like Division 2 is...
They learned the wrong lesson every single time.
Yeah.
Like well, it's making them money, so maybe they're learning the right lesson. Mm.
Division 2 is the only DLC they've got for that, or paid content, is cosmetic stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But you can earn that by playing the game.
Yeah.
And I've already earned a lot of stuff because I went into the actual apparel store a few days ago and looked, and it's like owned. So I was like, I actually own a lot of the premium stuff already just by playing the game. Mm. This is meant to be played.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
It's really good. If you really want a particular item, or you're fine, go ahead and buy it. But I think if you're paying for stuff that changes the game or makes the game easier, or you can't physically complete the game without paying more, or you have to play. Oh, you've done most of the game, but to fully finish the game, you can either do another 200 hours or pay $2.99.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's pretty shitty.
I am morally opposed to it for using fatalities in Mortal Kombat as well. It's remember the fucking combo, get all the timings right and all that.
Yeah.
Instead of like pressing your shoulder buttons and doing a fucking thing because you paid for it.
Cheats fatalities.
Yeah. Pay for easy fatalities.
Yeah. You don't have to remember dozens of codes in your head and get exactly right or it won't do it and you'll look like a fanny.
And die. Because, you've spent so long trying to get your fatality.
God damn it. Aye.
Yeah.
Well, that's games.
That's games. So, will we go on to our main topic of the day?
Spoilers!
We'll give it a review. We're going to talk about, as Jamie said at the start, Avengers Endgame. We talked about the other one. We've talked about a few of them now, actually.
Is this a spoiler-free review?
Quick spoiler-free review. So, what did you think of Endgame?
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Which, I enjoyed the last one.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember, I think I went to see it with you, and I remember coming out of it and being like, I liked that, but it wasn't what I was expecting.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas from the Russo brothers,
mm-hmm.
who did Winter Soldier and...
Civil War,
which is Avengers 2.5.
Yeah.
And whereas that one, at least for the first and second act, felt a lot more like what I expected from a Russo brothers, like... Avengers film, which is like serious character driven stuff, dark real life sort of tones, and then some comedy.
Yeah.
And then the third act, you know, what you'd expect,
mm-hmm.
superhero shit.
Yeah.
I wasn't super overwhelmed with it, but I think maybe because there was all the hype. And I think with the first film, Infinity War,
mm-hmm.
like, this is probably a spoiler, but you must have seen Infinity War by now.
Yeah, fuck you.
Yeah, fuck you for being lazy. go watch it. I think no one knew what was happening in it, you know, and then obviously at the end, and then half of them were gone, and that was
I guessed we were going to do that, like kill most of them. And then...
Yeah, but it was just the way they did it.
Did it affect you more than...
Yeah, it did.
Really?
It just kind of ended, and it was like, there wasn't a thing like, oh, we can reverse this, and then reverse
They did a...
Empire.
An empire on it, where it just... Yeah. Ends bleak as fuck.
Done. You've tried your best. There's nothing you can do about it. End. And then it's not going to be done. But I think everyone, without spoiling it, can kind of know what happens in the second film anyway.
Yeah.
Mm, maybe not. There is a lot of surprises in it.
Yeah.
But I think it can be like, oh, I know what's going to happen in the second one. I kind of wasn't...
I don't know. I suppose there's expectations of what will happen. Yeah. But...
It's a very, very good film, and it wraps up a lot of good storylines.
There's a lot of loose ends it manages to wrap up. Yeah.
I think that's the thing. I mean, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the absolute hell out of it, and it's I love the fact that you get essentially three films.
Yeah, yeah.
It is 3 hours long, and you get three films in those 3 hours.
Yeah.
And I think what they've managed to do in it, I think everybody gets dialogue. Which I think there's something like 65.
Oh, is there?
Maybe getting spoilery there, but there's it's
actually hard to talk about it.
Yeah,
without spoiling it.
So
on that note,
what we'll say
should we just start the spoilers?
Yeah, I think we'll just go into spoilers. So 3, 2, 1, turn off now if you don't want to know anymore.
That's it.
That's it. Yeah,
done.
Yeah, no. Yeah, 65 superheroes, something like that, in that final scene.
I love how your first sentence in the spoiler film bit is one that you just said just in a non-spoiler bit.
Well, I kind of stopped.
You spoiled your own spoiler-free section.
I've gone for it. But yeah, that's it. So like, I think everybody gets dialogue, and even if it's just one line.
Yeah.
I was sitting thinking about it. You've got
Scarlet Witch gets like one line.
Scarlet Witch, but Doctor Strange one line, which is if I told you, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
And he does that thing that just holds up his finger to Tony.
Well, here's a question. So this is later on. If you've seen it, you'll know the bit. He holds up his finger. Now, is he holding up his finger to say wait, or is he holding up his finger to say this is the one?
I think it's this is the one.
He's saying this is the one.
Because I was talking to Kirsty about
it. And then Tony Stark goes, I'm Neo.
Because Kirsty was like, I liked how he was like telling him sort of to wait. And I was like, oh, actually, maybe. I took it as he was saying, no, this is the one.
Mm. Yeah. Could be both.
Yeah, but it could be. I was just sort of like, oh, yeah, actually.
Should we briefly recap the film?
Yeah, let's.
For people
let's
who don't
do
care and not going to watch it anyway.
Yeah.
So,
where do we start?
Essentially, right. So, it wraps up the stories of the five original Avengers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Captain America, Iron Man, Hulk, Hawkeye, and
Scarlet Witch.
Black Widow.
Black Widow, yeah.
And Thor, so six.
It sort of kind of wraps up for them.
And it starts from the last film, pretty much, so Thanos
right
just...
on the back of it.
Yeah, Thanos has just snapped his fingers and killed half the beings. Well, that's interesting. They said half the creatures in this one, whereas in the last one, I'm sure they said sentient life.
Yeah.
And then in this one, they said half of living creatures.
Yeah.
And then, because then later on, yeah, so they say that, and then you see Tony on a ship. He survived. He gets rescued by Captain Marvel. Thinks he's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Then you get basically everyone on Earth trying to live. They're like, "Oh, what can we do? Oh, we can't really do anything because he's already done it." And then it's
What they do straight away. So they bring it starts with like Tony in the ship.
Yeah.
Tony and Nebula.
Yeah.
In the ship, it's adrift, and
played by Karen Gillan.
Yeah. Mm. And they're running out of air, and looks like they're fucked. Then Marvel appears and saves them, takes them back home. And then from there, it ramps up very quickly, and they find Thanos.
Yeah.
The film left off with him on his garden world. They find him and go straight to him
and kill him pretty quick.
And then kill him, and you're sort of at first I was like, oh, holy shit, we're really fucking going for this, like going right in, and we're going to have a scrap right at the start of the film.
But
what else are we going to have?
Captain Marvel basically comes and Captain Marvels him, and then bloody Thor. Go! I went for the head and chops his head off.
Yeah,
because he used the stones to destroy the stones and almost killed him as well.
They're essentially fucked.
Yeah,
there's like no way to get around this.
And there's then like no hope or anything like that. And then the film cuts to 5 years later. We do a little time jump, and it's like how's Earth coping? How's everybody coping? Mm. And that there's a lot of questions I have about that, but. I like that they didn't go into it too much.
Yeah, it was just like support groups and stuff.
It was just sort of like covered a little bit of it, some sort of establishing shots.
It was more of a feeling of it rather than any details.
But then, like, what my head goes in is like, how the fuck is, what's happening? You've basically had complete societal breakdown in literally the snap of a finger.
Let's come back to this because I have issues with this.
Right, okay.
So let's keep recapping it.
Okay.
So then what happens? Then they go and...
Then...
Ant-Man comes back from the Quantum Realm from the end of Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Which is a key point that, again, Kirsty brought up that I didn't think about. And now I've seen loads of folk talking about it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Who was the ultimate hero in that film?
Oh, the rat.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realise this either. And then the rat thingy-de-thing it brought back. So
the rat turns on the machine. That brings Ant-Man back, which is then the whole crux to the story.
I think either the rat is a watcher, or the watcher has told it to do it, or it's Splinter, and we're going to get the Turtles in the MCU.
Turtle, a good Turtles reboot.
An MCU Turtles. There is a Turtles Batman comic book out just now.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. Not impossible. But, yeah. Yeah, so the rat saves the day. You know, out of all these heroes, the rat's the fucking winner. Yeah. But
that's
yeah,
probably the biggest spoiler of the whole film.
Yeah,
yeah,
the rat
wins.
Yeah,
and the rat. Yeah.
But yeah, Ant-Man comes back and
goes, "Hey, we can probably travel through time." I kind of did.
Yeah.
And then they say, "Oh, Tony, let's do it." And he says, "Oh, I'm not sure." And so what they did was they give Tony a kid.
Kids, yeah.
Which means that, and he's sort of sorted his life out.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that, now, they never specifically said the age of the kid.
No.
What they should have made clear was that if they go back in time and it was by Back to the Future rules and change things, then his kid won't be born.
However, what
it'll
I
be
quite
a different kid if it's a kid at all. And that would have given him stakes not to want to do it.
Yeah.
But then they made clear that it's like, oh no, you can't actually change time like that. You can only.
Time's linear, essentially.
Yeah, you can only you create parallel universes, essentially, every time you do things. So what we'll do is we'll take the stones and we'll put them back, so at least those universes also have a chance of surviving.
However, there's bits of that break, but I don't know if that's something that is going to be explained further on.
All time travel films break.
But they break the rules pretty quick. Like, really quick.
Sort of. I mean...
But I'm not getting too hung up about it, because I just think... it is silly comic book action, and there'll be an explanation for it further down the line.
Yeah. And then we get a time heist.
Yeah.
Of a sort of tour de force of old Avengers scenes.
Yeah. Which was kind of cool.
It was kind of cool.
Yeah, worked them in quite well, actually. Yeah.
I mean, this is like basically the second
act.
The second act is time heist.
Yeah.
It's your second film.
They go back
film.
To the original huge fight in New York from the first Avengers.
Yeah. And you see the Sorcerer Supreme doing stuff, which I really liked, because it was like, other people were involved in it other than the Avengers, so she was like, you know, killing things as well.
And again, it's sort of like somebody said, well, why wasn't she down helping with them? It's like, well, no, because her only interest was protecting
the
building.
Sanctum Sanctorum.
Yeah, the Sanctum Sanctorum. That's the only thing that she doesn't actually care about very much else apart from protecting.
Because that's what generates the seal thing that protects the Earth. Yeah.
So, like that, I'm quite down with that, and it was cool to see that. But then it's also the things like you got to see the aftermath after they captured Loki.
And then
like seeing the shield stroke
Hydra,
agents
come
in and take all the equipment, and you're just like,
And then to get the equipment back, you think they're going to reprise the fight that they did in Winter Soldier
in the elevator.
Yeah, but he just goes, "Hail Hydra."
And he says, "Hail Hydra," which I was just like, oh, they're not going to do it, are they?
They're going to fuck off fanboys so much with that.
Because it was in the comic books.
Exactly.
And
but that was a big...
folk were so fucking angry about it. Yeah.
But that's why I liked it. It was a little nod to it. But you know he's lying.
Yeah.
But then people were like...
When he walked out of that, I thought, oh, wait a minute, has he always been Hydra?
But people...
he wasn't.
No. But the thing is, that'll make his universe really confusing for it, because then there'll be all these Hydra people who think that he's Hydra.
Yeah.
because in that universe, they'll be like, but you said Hail Hydra. He's like, no, I didn't. And you go, oh, yeah, I did. And try to be a double agent. It'll be crazy. Yeah. But...
it was quite funny though when he met his... past self.
Yeah.
And then the passive, because I can do this all day.
Itself too seriously.
They had a lot of nice callbacks, like fan service. But at the same time, like, I think that needed to happen in this film, because again, it is a recap. It's a, you know, or a cap on the end of 11 year 22 films. You know, it's this. Let's make these references.
Not only did it bring back all 65 Marvel characters, it also brought back a lot of supporting characters.
That's the 65.
Just quickly to finish off a recap.
Yeah.
Basically, they get the stones, have a big fucking fight with Thanos.
Barney.
Yeah. Then basically because...
Hulk
snaps his fingers and brings everyone back with the gauntlet. They've made a gauntlet, an Iron Man gauntlet thing.
What we didn't explain as well is that when Hulk's in, there's two things there that we've missed.
Oh yeah,
when,
it's Professor Hulk.
When Hulk's introduced, he's Professor Hulk. He's basically Banner and Hulk merged. To be big and green
strength
but brainy as
fuck. Strength and brains.
Yeah. And the other one is Thor. When we get
oh yeah, he's
Thor,
fat and
he's basically feels that he's failed.
Yeah, he's fat and alcoholic
and yeah, he's
I mean, he always was an alcoholic.
Yeah.
That's the thing with Thor. He's like always like, ew.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy that though, because in Infinity War he was an absolute badass.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and he
and in this one he was a bad, but they kind of foreshadowed this in Infinity War where Rocket says to him, like, where he's talking and he goes, oh, yeah, so have you got any family? He's like, oh, my father died. I had to, you know, he died, blah, blah. Oh, my mother was killed by a dark elf. Yeah. And then, like, listed off, oh, best friend? Oh, he was stabbed in the heart. Brother? Oh, he was just killed by Thanos.
Yeah.
And like, oh, I've lost all my people as well.
Yeah.
And then, so he sort of foreshadowed that this is like a real problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then, in the end, even though he manages to kill Thanos, he's still like, it was too late. Yeah. And I fucked it.
He did the wrong thing. Yeah.
So I get what you mean. At times I thought that was a little bit cheap, but at the same time, I think they needed to inject humor into it in bits and it couldn't be too serious. And it does serve a character purpose.
Yeah.
It just feels like they just set him to like Ragnarok Thor.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, I kind of want him, like in that end fight, I want to see him just become like the thunder god that he is, not just
But I don't think that's the end of his story yet.
No, yeah. He's going to be the next Guardians, it looks like.
Yeah.
And,
I think we've got more Thor.
So Banner brings everyone back.
Mm-hmm.
And then they all appear through like portals from Doctor Strange and other sorcerers. And tons of sorcerers appear.
All the
Marvel characters ever that have been in it at all appear and come through. I was half hoping we might got a Deadpool at that point, but we didn't. That would have been very funny.
That would have been too early for that.
It would have been, but it would have been very funny. But they all come through. They have a massive fight. They win. Hooray. Mm. And then, but Tony dies.
Yeah, because Tony does his Neo
Thor
thing.
Thor gets a gauntlet again. And he snaps his fingers, but Stark's already stolen the stones.
Yeah.
In his own glove.
Yeah.
Snaps his fingers, and then all Thor's forces disappear.
Thanos's.
Yeah. And then Thanos just slowly disintegrates himself.
Yeah.
But that essentially kills Tony.
And and Tony dies. And what I thought we did really well was so then Cap has to go and put the stones back from where they were.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's not gonna come back.
Well,
he's not gonna fucking come back.
What I thought they were gonna do is he's gonna get stuck. Because that's something like that does have it happen in the comic books at one point, and he disappears again for another like 10-20 years. It's like how they keep him being young.
So he goes back and gets together with Peggy Carter. It was really nice.
Yeah, it was.
It was really nice. And then he's old man, and I saw a calculation today that he was like
120 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
By that. But he's a super soldier, so that's all right.
Because Kirsty was like, oh, he wouldn't age. I was like, no, he does. He is a human.
Age is slow.
It's just that he's a normal human, just with a
age is a wee bit slower.
But that's where they break. That's where they break their own time rules.
Why?
Because he's gone back in time.
Yeah.
That would have created a new... a new fork. A new reality.
I might have... Yeah.
Yeah, like Peggy Carter who
Yeah, so he shouldn't have been able to come back and hand over... You know, how they have him come back as old man... Steve, and then he hands the shield. Also, the shield, if he's got the shield and gives it to Falcon, what happened to his shield that got broken in the fight? Because that wouldn't have existed.
I don't know.
That's a good point.
Yeah. They just set out some simple time travel rules for themselves and went, we'll just stick to that. It'll make a good film.
But then they've broken it. And that's...
Yeah.
I mean, I think there'll be another explanation.
I think if you ask the Russo brothers, they'd probably... come up with something.
And there probably will be explanations
but
for it.
But it could well be wrong, yeah.
But like that, straight away. And then the other things are, it kind of breaks his character, but then, because it means that he's then lived this entire life without saying anything about what's about to happen, but then it's sort of like, well, would he? Because if he does, then it might change the outcome of events.
Yeah, he knows that, because he knows this is the one way. But I really, what I liked about it was that Ava used it time travel for like, oh, cheeky high drinks.
Yeah.
But they also used it for real character stuff as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it I thought it worked really, like, that's what I thought worked really well in this film, was that it did an insane amount of things.
Yeah.
Like, it tied up, like, every loose end you could think of. I hadn't even thought it was going to, I thought there was tons of lines. I thought they weren't even going to attempt. And they did them all. And then they, you got, like, good character stuff at the beginning, and then you got your sort of heisty movie in the middle with comedy, and then you got your massive, insane, like, you thought the Infinity War battle was big. This was on an, this was utterly mental.
Although,
The running time didn't, at no point did I feel like, oh, this is dragging.
No.
The rhythm sort of made sense.
Just bang, bang, bang.
And I was really surprised. I was expecting it to not quite work, but it worked really fucking well.
And again, I think it's down to that splitting it into, like, three separate little films. Yeah. Like, a story about after the snap, and then coming up with the plan, and then the heist, and then the big battle. But the battle at the end, it was probably more bigger, more smashy bashy than the battle in Infinity War.
Oh yeah, much more.
But it didn't worry is something like, look at Batman Superman, the fight, you know, it's not, there's only a few of them, but it's so smashy bashy that you get lost in it.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't feel like anything. And it feels so long as well. It feels like it goes on forever.
Feels a bit, the one Infinity War felt a bit forced as well.
Yeah, and it felt long.
Yeah.
Like, it kept going and going. Where this, I think what they did quite well was they honed in on little stories in the fight rather than the fight as a whole.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I don't think Infinity War did quite as well until the very end of
that. Yeah, yeah.
That was something that I kind of really liked about. They upped the stakes, but then they honed in on the smaller stories throughout.
I loved Valkyrie flying around on Pegasus. That was fucking cool. I was like,
The only character that doesn't come back is Vision.
Well, it's not a Pegasus.
Vision wouldn't. So, I mean, the rules were that if you were dead before the snap, you weren't coming back.
He was dead. Loki would have been dead, apart from he stole the Tesseract and fucked off. So we don't know what's happening with him.
Is he alive in this
I think he'll get his own series, and then he might meet Thor. Because you were saying Taika Waititi's proposed a Thor film. Thor will probably get a hint of that in the next Guardians film, and they'll probably resolve the time travel thing at the end whenever he wants to finish the Disney Plus series that he's getting.
But there wasn't any reference to Vision either.
When Hulk said to a few people, he's like, oh, when I had the glove, I really tried to bring her back, to bring back
Tasha.
Again, because Tasha died.
Yeah, see that?
Yeah. No.
I didn't see it, but do you know
Tasha
what?
Died getting the soul, so Barton could get the Soul Stone. They were fighting to thing themselves.
I wasn't kind of like...
We missed it out.
Yeah, that was a weird one, because I didn't see it coming, but also wasn't... I don't know, I suppose I expected her to come back, but it looks like she's not.
No, she's gone.
Yeah.
I think she's
got a film coming.
Is it a film or a TV series?
No, it's a film.
It's a film.
So,
going to get more of it.
Could be based in the past.
Well, it's a bit of an odd kind of tangent to take.
We'll see what we do. Yeah. But I've read that some people really weren't happy about her dying. But if they were both going to get it, then you knew they were both going to try and sacrifice themselves.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of a whole thing that, like, redeemed her originally, and now she's, you know, doing the same for him so he can go back to his family and stuff. Yeah. I also liked what they did with Hawkeye, where he was like a complete fucking badass.
Like snapped.
The stuff they were doing in that, I was like, oh man, they are skirting close to the fucking rating in this.
Oh, the PG. Yeah. I thought that as well. You saw him like stab a guy, but you never
zero
saw
blood, zero blood,
no blood.
Cut his throat. The guy's can't say anything.
Yeah. But it's like they must have been skirting so close to the classification with that.
Because he becomes Ronan in the comics, doesn't he?
I think Captain America does. There's a few that don't call
him Ronan in the film.
No, they don't. But it's the same get up.
I didn't even know that, but I thought of him as like, oh, he's become like a Ronan.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like a total badass.
Yeah.
Like, It's cool though.
Because that's the opening.
But again, it served a character purpose.
Yeah, it totally did.
And yeah, it's just.
I like that they introduced like those characters who weren't in Infinity War, but give them a quick little intro.
Yeah.
Like Hawkeye losing his family on a picnic.
Yeah.
Ant-Man just coming back and like, sure, what's happened?
Yeah.
I've been 5 years, yeah. What the hell's going on?
But that's because then he serves as the explainer for people who haven't even seen Infinity War.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So they were like, oh, we've got that in there.
So he's somebody,
you know, some exec has gone, oh, we need someone who can guide people through. Because there will be some people who haven't seen it.
Yeah.
And so the thing is, I would not. If you've not seen any, I think you have to see at least the main Avengers films.
At least the main Avengers films.
For this to make any sense.
And like Thor Ragnarok, Civil War.
Yeah.
Captain America films.
Yeah. I think. At the very least, you would have had to have seen maybe the last five or six films.
If you've seen every single one like us, there's tons of payoffs in it.
Oh, absolutely.
But if you've not seen any, if you've not seen that many, if you maybe saw the first Iron Man and maybe the first Avengers, haven't kept with it since then,
you're going to be lost.
Going to be completely lost.
And
none of the stuff will have any meaning for you either. Yeah. Like the meaningful stuff, it's like, I can't believe how well they did that.
But it's one of the amazing things about this whole series is that you couldn't do something like that without the support of 21 films before it.
Yeah, yeah, it's true.
Like, you could not do a film of that sort
it's
of stature.
It's rewarding, though. It's like, if you've watched all these films, and then you watch Infinity War and Endgame, you think, you know what? Watching all these films before it, whether I like some of them or not, was worth it just to see
The
these
payoff.
These two films together.
That's completely right. It's absolutely. It gives you payoffs for everything.
Yeah.
And just thinking about it, I can't remember what was it. The Peggy when Cap went back with Peggy, that like honestly hit me. I was like, got to get with Peggy.
He's got his dance.
Yeah, I think also because I really liked Agent Carter the series as well.
But that's Agent Carter was a great TV series.
Yeah. Hayley Atwell, but Hayley Atwell, but the other line, there was a couple other lines, but the other one I remember that really got me was the Scarlet Witch one. I think, again, it might have been her only line, which was, you took everything from me, which goes up to Thanos, and I was like, oh shit, she totally lost her, like, boyfriend, and, you know, and bloody thingy died.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't Thanos' fault, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, it was Ultron's forces,
But then Scepter and all that. Yeah. But still, it was like, oh man, she has lost everything. And then, I was like, oh fuck.
What I also liked about that whole bit there was it showed you how powerful she is.
Yeah.
She would have killed him.
Yeah, yeah.
If it hadn't been for the fact that he then called on... What is it? The rain.
Yeah, yeah.
From the ship and
it's
something that they've only touched on a little bit is how powerful Scarlet Witch is, and she's actually probably, well, in the comic books, she's the most powerful. Like,
yeah, that's because she controls probability and stuff as well.
Chaos.
So, yeah.
So our power is controlling chaos.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's the most powerful. Like,
but it's like
hero in
her Marvel Doctor Strange. Yeah. But Doctor Strange in a different way. He's like, maybe not in this, but he's like all the other realities.
Yeah,
I could kick everyone's ass. In this reality, Marvel's probably stronger than me. Maybe Scarlet Witch as well.
I think I liked how they limited them and kept them to the
end. Doing what they did. Yeah, so she just comes in and fucking bosses Thanos at the beginning. Yeah. Comes in, destroys his ship at the end in like a second.
They really used her sparingly but well.
Yeah,
I was gonna think they could probably go and overuse her because. Well, her movie was out.
She's too powerful. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought she's going to come and ruin everything.
Because I liked it that they, by the end of the first part, that they established that she was off world and doing other shit. And
yeah, she's like, there's so many other worlds that are having problems as well.
And that it was just like, right, so they've managed to push her away and keep her out the film and a reasonable explanation for it.
Can I briefly talk about something that I didn't like about it?
Uh huh.
Which was, I think I complained about Infinity War as well, where they never challenged Thanos' idea that killing people half of life would actually be good. And the thing is, in the first film, it was half of, you assumed sentient life. And then they were like, half of all living creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Half of all living creatures is a terrible idea.
Plan. Well, that's...
But half of, let's just keep it
ecosystems
to...
Ecosystems and ecology and everything.
But even if you just say half of like sentient, you know, things for the universe, then... The problem is that that's never been proven true. Again, people keep saying it, and it keeps getting disproven. And if anything, it looks like that our population is going to level off within the carrying capacity of the Earth, and it might even start falling.
Yeah.
It might even start falling once everywhere becomes relatively developed, and then we'll be fucked because we won't have people, we'll have tons of old people and not enough people to work to look after them unless we get robots and shit.
Yeah.
But they also reinforced it. I thought, okay, maybe we'll do it in the second film and say, oh, it isn't just wrong that you want to murder millions of people. Also, your argument's shit and it doesn't make any sense.
But
they didn't. Cap was like, oh, I saw whales in the fucking Hudson, and I was like, no, you're reinforcing this shit argument, you fucking fucks.
Although they kind of at the same time like pushed against that as well, and he admits that he was, it's because when he's doing the meetings he's in,
yeah, he's like, oh, half glass look full. On it
whereas actually they all know it's shit.
We all know the answer to half glass full, half glass empty, don't we? Which is, if you empty it, it's half empty. If you fill it, it's half full. Done. Resolved.
I think
that's always fucked me off. Always fucked me off. Let's go to JB's bugbears for the next.
I'm still impressed by Thanos as, you know, a bad guy.
Oh, like, considering Marvel have had some of the weakest bad guys in their films.
Yes.
They've made it up with Thanos. Like, Infinity War, that film wasn't about the heroes. That film was a Thanos film.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like...
It was all about him.
It was the... I'm trying to think of another one, but I can't. That was the first one where he was... Yeah, it was like...
Yeah, like he was the main character. What he's going to do to do it, what he's done to get this far.
And Josh Brolin, like, I think, played him really well.
He even played him well in that, in this one when they go back in time.
Yeah.
And he's not quite the same character that he is then. He's not quite as contemplative. He's a bit more aggressive and it's interesting.
But he's smart though.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's still, you can still...
He gets it and he takes immediate advantage of them, you know, messing up a little bit of Nebula.
And makes the decision just to wipe... This time he's going to wipe absolutely fucking everything out.
Yeah, and start again.
Yeah, yeah.
He's doing a Baal from Stargate.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh no, not Baal. Anubis.
Anubis, yeah.
My bad.
He just generally just, you know, he doesn't even think about, oh, maybe I'll try, let's try this again. He's like, you know what, I've already tried this and it didn't work, so let's go even further now.
Double or nothing, bitches.
And he's just, oh, he's just such, and he's just such a, how to describe it?
Badass.
Yeah, he's just really quite terrifying, just how calm he is, you know, when he's just sitting there at the end.
Oh yeah, waiting
just
on them.
Waiting.
I like that he's just going to wait. And he's like, but even without the gauntlet, he's still like, I could take these fools.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that fight as well? Just like, there's a moment with Thanos. So basically, it's Tony, Thor, and Cap decide they're going to take him. And the three of them go for it.
Yeah.
You know, hell for leather.
Oh. And fucking Cap gets Mjolnir as well.
That's the bit. Yeah. There's the moment when Thor is down on the ground and Thanos has Stormbreaker pushing into his chest and you're thinking, shit, this is bad news. And then you see, because he gets Mjolnir back.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you see Mjolnir on the ground move a little.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, oh, he's calling upon. He's gonna fucking whack him with that. And then Mjolnir flies, and then the next thing you know, it's fucking Captain America that's holding it.
Yeah.
It's just like, that was amazing. Like, that was a proper moment, like chill down my spine moment in
this
film.
Yeah.
Just like, fuck yes.
Yeah, he's got the shield and the shield. Like, oh, and,
he is worthy of the hammer.
Can I also say I was genuinely surprised that they handed off a Cap thing to
Sam,
I know he was in the comics, but so I felt like they were building up Bucky for
Bucky,
it. So
but Bucky's
I think
also it was a, been. The two has, of them have been.
I think it was a fake out. I think they purposely built up Bucky so he thought it was going to be him, and they were, oh, it's Sam, bitches.
But then
he's
we're also going to have a Bucky Sam.
Yeah, series. Yeah,
which
sounds terrible.
I don't know. It could be interesting.
They had a bit of banter and
not very interesting characters though.
But no. I think that's why they might work in a...
They kind of hate each other and have a bit of banter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I'm not sure about that one. It all depends on who they get to do it.
Yeah, it could be... I think it could be quite a fun sort of, maybe if they do it in a kind of spy type, you know, like... buddy cop spy.
There was a couple of things in the film I thought were a bit rushed. Like Tony figuring out the time travel thing.
Yeah.
Like it seems like he just did it on a coffee break. Like, yeah. Oh,
I think that was just in service. It's like, oh shit, I figured it out. I didn't expect to, but isn't that convenient? Because then we can move along the film quicker.
But I think it was. But I think they did that quite well in that they had the guys come and suggest the plan to Tony. Tony was like, no, absolutely not. It's time travel. You're mental. You can't do that.
Yeah.
And then I was like, that's good. That's something that'll pick his interest and it'll sit in.
But that's when I thought we were going to have an argument about, no, I can't, because then my daughter wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
I was waiting for that, actually.
But then they were like, oh, actually, it'll be okay. But then towards the end, he says something like, remember, we can't just change it. We have to do it this way, otherwise, you know, I lose everything.
The other thing as well was when they got the stones and then they just chucked it in one of Tony's gloves.
Yeah.
Whereas Thanos had to go to that.
Yeah, then, that was a little bit.
But then I kind of reckon that they already had the knowledge of the glove, or at least Thor might have knowledge of the...
Maybe.
I wasn't so concerned about that.
I know, but I did. I agree with BT on that. I wasn't concerned, but at the same time, it was like Thanos had to go get the gauntlet made
by these kind of people.
By these amazing things. And then a human on Earth like manages to build one, and it's like... I mean, you had him and Rocket and Hulk and whoever else working. But at the same time, they could have been like, oh, let's contact, what's his name? Fucking Peter Dinklage.
They maybe just couldn't get him again.
Yeah. Yeah, just contact him. Yo, we need some help. How do we do this? Yeah. You know?
It just seemed a bit like, oh, Tony just managed to just find an old glove and just chuck the stones into that. Yeah. You know, and his own glove later on in the film as well. It just seemed a bit...
Nah, yeah. I don't know.
Kirsty said something to me as well about somebody couldn't... They're not supposed to touch the power of the stone or something. Yeah, you remember...
Notice a lot of the time, it's like floating in between... Like when the Sorcerer Supreme does it, it's like between her fingers and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff like people are like... You know, in older films, you couldn't touch the stones because they're so powerful. And this thing, they're just like chucking them in their back pockets. Use them as paperweight. This seems to be so frivolous. But I guess it's like... They've probably built a lot of things in other movies that they thought... We can't really bring this across. It's going to slow the movie down.
Yeah.
Like them all going to a trip to go see Peter Dinklage and get a gauntlet made. That was just going to be...
Yeah, that's impossible.
That's one of your people. You
could have just seen him on the thing like, hey, we can't figure this out. Can you give us a hand? Oh, sorry. Didn't mean that with your hands covered in steel.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that was a moment where I was able to kind of just suspend that and think you've got some of the best brains.
And also, because it's an Iron Man thing, it means it can fit anyone's hand that needs to go in it.
Yeah, so well, that's like
a nano thing and adapt.
I quite like that they did that, though, because it meant that then, I was surprised it wasn't Cap. In the comic books, a couple of times, Cap's had the... I mean, I think they've all done it at some point. There's actually a moment when they're doing the sort of the run through the field with the gauntlet.
You go Black Panther. And you go
well, it's
Spider-Man.
Black Panther.
Yeah, yeah.
Black Panther goes.
Oh, that's really cool.
Goes, give it to me. And there's a sort of a look in his face. And there's a series. Is it the Infinity series or is it Secret Wars? Oh, I can't remember. There's a series just recently where there's a group called the Illuminati in Marvel, and it's made up of Professor X, Tony, Reed Richards. It's essentially all the heads of all the groups, and they're making like universe, decisions on a universal scale about how to deal with people and deal with things. And it's a secret group and all this. Black Panther's in it, but Black Panther's like totally kind of against it because he thinks these kind of sort of quangos are just... Everything that's wrong.
Says a king.
Yeah,
anyway.
Exactly. But yeah, there's a moment when he takes they're using the gauntlet and the stones to change reality for their own good. And he takes it and he's just like, nah, it's mine, bitches. there was a kind of a hint at that. And it was just like, oh, fuck, is he going to take it and make his mind up on what's going to happen?
Yeah. I think they chucked a lot of that stuff in the films.
Yeah, just like little
his thing where he ran with it, though, was fucking cool. It was like,
little winks and nods and stuff.
I think they've also, you know, they've also done this in the movie. Like, you know what? We've read a lot of the comics, so we know why we're doing this scene.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like a little
nod and a wink.
But, yeah. It's not what you think.
Yeah.
Maybe we can.
Lots of that going on in it. Yeah. It's again, it's that paying that fan service bit as well. That,
do you know what I thought as well when I was driving home? It's like, that's how I wanted to see the Fantastic Four films be. When they're fighting Galactus.
Yeah.
Galactus, this being who eats planets.
Yeah. Instead of a space fart.
Yeah, a big dirty space fart coming down through the ozone layer.
The trailer for that is the best part of the film, where Johnny Torch goes after, sorry, Johnny Storm goes after the Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing. And then Surfer just owns him. It's like, yes. And all I saw, I was like, holy shit, they fixed the Fantastic Four films. This is going to be great. And it wasn't. That was the best part of the whole film, and it's in the first 10 fucking minutes.
But you know, there is a whole thing where they did that because they didn't think audiences would accept a man the size of a planet. You know?
Yeah.
And I get that, whereas I think...
But here's the thing, if they did it, they wouldn't have, because they weren't writing it with the same skill that people who write and produce the MCU have. But
also, the MCU, what Marvel have done with it is... I think we're at a point where people will, absolutely accept that because they've built, and they've slowly built this idea of the cosmic, the grand, the stupid nonsense, you know.
Well, I remember Dave Rogers, he saw Infinity War, they hadn't seen Black Panther.
Yeah.
He's like, what the fuck was going on with these like African tribesmen with like fucking laser fabric swords, shields and shit. But I was like, see, the thing is, if you watch Black Panther, they make it seem not weird. And the same with Thor. I was like, remember, how are they going to do Thor? He's like pretty much a god.
He is a god. Yeah.
And then every time they Doctor Strange, like, we can't, Guardians of the Galaxy, is like, they won't be able to do this. And they pull it off every time really fucking well and make it seem not weird. Whereas, you know, when they're doing Fantastic
but
Four.
But then it's like, one of the things I like to do, and again, something that sets a precedent for bringing Galactus into a story like this, is nowhere in Guardians of the Galaxy. It's the head of a ancient celestial being, and it's like the size of a planet.
Yeah, and they also did Eagle.
Yeah,
yeah.
Eagle, so the living planet. So they brought this kind of idea of,
and they even said that in the end of this film.
Yeah,
they were like, I think it was Tony's recording thing. He's like, there's a universe of things out there. And the MCU's clearly been going more cosmic.
Yeah.
Like, over the years. Like, whether it's the Quantum Realm, or it's Guardians, or it's Doctor Strange with all these realities.
Yeah.
Or Marvel, or whatever. Yeah. They're going more into space, and more into, like, realities and cosmic and all that sort of stuff. I think they signaled that for Phase 4 pretty clearly. It's like, no, this is the direction we're going in, and it's going to be mental.
Make it kind of about...
We're going to get Adam Warlock now that fucking what's his name's back.
Oh yeah, James Gunn.
James Gunn.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
So I thought like a film where Galactus was slowly moving towards Earth, essentially, and then Captain Marvel encountered him but wasn't strong enough to fight him, and she's like, I can't beat him, and it's like this thing that they cannot beat, and then, but they've always found a really good way of doing it. Time travel again, but maybe something else, you know.
Although they now have a time travel device, which could lead to another interesting story.
I hope they don't use it again, though.
I hope
maybe it's a villain tries to use it.
Yeah,
like maybe if they bring in Fantastic Four, Doctor Doom's trying to use it, trying to build it. And then they have to try and stop him, and it's another time thing.
But I think, I do think we're going to see more team up, sort of buddy kind of things going on.
Yeah.
Because, like,
Fantastic Four is Fox as well, isn't it? Or is it Universal?
It's Fox. Fox. So
we're getting X-Men that, and we're getting X-Men surely are going to come in Phase 4, or maybe Phase 5.
I think they're looking at, like, whatever the next part of it is. Because of Dark Phoenix is coming out.
Quank.
Yeah, but looks, they're going to do those.
Fucking terrible.
I think they're going to rest X-Men
for
like 5-6 years and then
reset it.
Then reset it. Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense. And also,
because
I really
want
to see New Mutants. New Mutants looks fucking good.
It does look good, yeah. But thinking about it, it's at that point that the MCU will need something new to recharge it.
Yeah, and they'll go, oh, look.
We've got the X-Men.
Even if they fuck up the next phase, And people, yeah, people will, no matter what happens, people will go, oh, the net, you know, this isn't as good as like the like first 10 years of MCU.
That's what I'm concerned about, because I was reading about this, and the people are going to start building on was like, you know, Bucky and Falcon and
Scar. No, see, I think
they're going to go more TV, whereas those, it'll be Doctor Strange, Marvel, Scarlet
Black
Witch,
Panther.
Black Panther.
No, Scarlet Witch and Vision of a TV show coming.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
so the question is about Vision as well, is like, was he like alive?
Oh, yeah.
But what I reckon they could, and again, the thing with like a Scarlet Witch Vision series is like, oh, is it going to be a prequel? No, I reckon what will happen is Banner will try to rebuild Vision.
Yeah.
And he'll be broken.
And he'll remember half of things, but not everything. Yeah,
and it'll be...
And he's like, I love you, but I'm not sure why. Yeah,
and she'll take him out and they'll go on adventures or something like that, you know.
But that's what I meant to say earlier. Was when he goes, oh, I really tried to bring her back, talking about Nat. I was like, what about Vision? He doesn't mention it. He goes, I was like, yeah, I really tried to bring her back. Yeah. And he goes... And I was like, and Vision too?
Vision's just a fucking robot.
That's it.
Yeah. Can you bring him back?
No. Fuck it, hell. But I think they'd say, oh, he was powered by the Soul Stone or whatever, so he can't come back.
He was he an android, you know, or a, yeah, you know, don't know.
Did he have a soul, so, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know, I think...
I just thought it was a massive diss to Professor Hulk, because fuck you, Vision. Don't give a fuck about you.
Yeah.
He just snaps, wants his own hole. He snaps his fingers.
Doesn't care about Scarlet Witches, he just wants his own.
Can you imagine just sitting there and just going, oh shit, Vision. Oh, Chris, that's Chris Sorted Vision. And then hastily puts a new thing together. It's kind of like Vision.
Johnny Five is alive.
Yeah. So shit like that. It's like,
and then get an actor who you're sure is Indian when you watch it when you're younger, and you're like, wait a minute, he's not fucking Indian. What the fuck's going on here?
Yeah, it was just blackface.
Hey, everybody, it's Vision. Vision's back.
Yeah. Oh, aye.
Did you snap him back like that, or did you just put him together with Bacano?
Turns out that snapping Vision back would have been actually really easy.
I can't wait till they bring in the Power Rangers to the next case. It's going to be good. Zordon and... What was the robot called? Aye.
Did you see the movie?
I've not seen it.
But apparently, it's supposed to be all right. Like, just quite a fun wee film.
Cranston plays the...
Zordon, yeah. Zordon.
Yeah.
Although, apparently, it's a bit like... What was the one... Josh Trank did. It was about the three kids that found like a stone in a cave and ended up with powers, and it was sort of all video cam. Yeah. It's quite a good film.
I keep thinking it's not Jumper, but I keep thinking of, but it's the same kind of idea. It's like Real World.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Apparently, that's the better Power Rangers film.
Oh.
That was quite a good film, actually, but. Yeah, the guy at the end just becomes evil for no particular reason.
Yeah.
Just because he can.
But,
I think, just as a last note, I think everyone else should give up on cinematic universes.
Oh, yeah.
DC should, like, the best Batman films. Yeah. I think they've given up, and I think, like, fucking, is it Warner Brothers with their monster one?
Yeah.
And they're doing, like, a new one that just looks...
Godzilla?
The new one. The new one where it was like, there was an advert for it where it was like...
Godzilla 2.
You had like Mothra in it and everyone else.
I think that looks quite good.
That looks really good.
Nah.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I like the whole story concept of they were the guardians of the planet.
Yeah, but I liked the first 20 minutes of Godzilla, half an hour, and then after that, I didn't like it. And The Mummy was...
The Mummy wasn't to do with anything to do with that.
I'm pretty sure it's the same universe.
Nope.
You talking about
You're talking about the, what was it, Dark?
Yeah, well, King Kong.
No.
Yeah, Skull Island's in it as well.
No. No, you're getting them confused. That's Legendary is the King Kong Godzilla, and it's just those two with the beasts from the Godzilla. You know, like,
but they have the same agency investigating them in Majestic or whatever it is.
No, Majestic's only, it's a different agency in The Mummy.
Yeah.
It is,
yes. So King Kong and Godzilla related.
Yeah, they're part of the Legendary.
I thought The Mummy was part
universe,
of it. Oh.
Whereas
you're talking about The Mummy and all those kind of.
It
characters.
Was supposed to be like The Mummy, Dracula, Jekyll and Hyde.
Mm.
The Bride of Frankenstein was supposed to be the next film, and it got canned after The Mummy.
That was supposed to be a separate universe.
They've tried to launch that one twice with Dracula Untold, and it bombed. And then they tried to do it again with The Mummy, and it bombed.
Oh, man.
What was it, Dark Legends or something like that?
It's Dark Legends.
Something.
But no, King Kong's like its own thing.
Yeah. It's King Kong Godzilla. And that's just building to the King Kong.
I could have swore it was the same agency.
Because it's Universal that we're doing the...
Skull Island was good.
Yeah, I liked Skull Island. It was good fun.
Yeah. Godzilla was good, and...
I think the second one looks as though it'll be fun as well.
I like the story of it, that these were like the protectors of the planet, and now they're all waking up, and it's just, yeah.
They should do a Power Rangers one, and like with Doctor Strange, all the different versions of the Power Rangers, and VR troopers coming in through the portals at the end. We are VR!
What was the other? Was it Masked Rider?
Oh, I can't remember.
Yep. Yeah. Masked Rider. VR troopers, fucking hell.
Jesus, man. But not
hey, you're the man who, I believe, for someone's stag do, the image for it was the turtles and the Power Rangers like high fiving.
It was. Yeah.
You're all about your kids' TV team ups. Yeah, don't look at me like that.
But Haim Saban were owned by Disney for a while, so like you could have potentially had that Marvel Power Rangers crossover.
I think,
and then Obi-Wan Kenobi will come through a portal.
Yeah. Flashback to Christian. What's his name again? Hans Christian.
Hans Christian Andersen.
Yeah, no,
the guy that wrote all the.
The guy who plays Anakin.
Yeah.
You know, can superimpose him as a ghost.
Isn't his second name Hayden Christensen?
Hayden Christensen. That's it. I just think,
I kept wanting to say Christian Stewart. It's like, it's not Christian Stewart.
I think like Marvel, like they should set up their own film studio. And basically the DC season go to them and go, okay, can you make our films for us?
That they have. It's called Marvel Studios, and that's what made all these films.
What, like, Superman and that?
No, but they do have their own, he's saying that they already have their own film studio.
But I think DC should go to Marvel Studios and go, you make really good films. Can you do another Superman? Can you do a Batman? Lol.
I think they'll just go in the direction that they did with, like, the Nolan stuff worked. Just have individual characters and give them to people you really trust.
So the
rather
chat
than try
about
and build a universe.
What they're going to do. So, like, Batfleck's out. Possibly Henry Cavill's out as Superman.
Good.
So
he's so boring.
But what they're saying is...
He looks like Superman, but he's so boring.
They've got Shazam.
People have said that's good.
Yeah, it's supposed to be real good. And that they could easily just replace Superman with Shazam for the moment in time.
Yeah.
So they've got Shazam. There is a Batman film coming. You've got this Joker film coming out.
I like
then
the
you're
look
also
of it, that
have,
Joker film.
You're going to have an Aquaman 2. You've got Wonder Woman 2. There's a Flash film still being developed. But instead of trying
He's co-written it, though, which I'm like, ooh.
Yeah, but instead of trying to develop, like, have them all cross over, these are all now just going to be individual stories.
Mm.
And what they've said is that they're not ruling out not doing another Justice League. But they want to tell some individual stories.
That's
they want
the way
to do
it.
What Marvel did in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
Rather than try to throw it
all
together.
Yeah, there was a long lead up to the first Avengers film.
Yeah, whereas Warner Brothers were too busy like, nah, we've got to catch up.
Yeah.
And just like, aye, you had Dawn of Justice
but
and then a shit.
They
Justice
should
League.
Have space for them to do like the new Joker film.
Yeah.
Even if it's not for everyone, I like the look of it a lot.
It does actually look
interesting.
Looks
like a proper character piece rather than...
Actually, when you think about it, they did Man of Steel. That was Superman's own film.
Yeah.
Brilliant film.
I
love that film.
Again, first 20 minutes, fucking amazing.
Yeah, the first 20 minutes
after
good,
that,
and then it just gets content.
So he had his own story, but then they just jumped into Batman versus Superman.
Yeah.
They didn't really introduce that version of Batman.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know who Batman is. It's Batman.
Although I kind of quite like that. In that
like Batman.
There was no need to tell the story again.
No.
So actually, jumping into that, I wasn't too fussed about. I just don't think they did.
They just didn't do it well.
No.
The thing is, there's a lot that I like about...
First 20 minutes of a Batman film. Again, good where he like goes in and kills the people and stuff.
Yeah.
The dungeony bit.
Yeah.
But yeah. Really good. Rest of it, wank.
I don't know.
I basically should just watch the first 20 minutes of like 90% of films and I love them.
I like Batman vs. Superman.
Batman vs. Superman,
there's something
I like about it, but I don't. There's a lot I don't like, but there's something I like, and I can't always quite put my finger on it. But I think what it is, and I've said this before, is Kevin Smith summed it up quite well, and it's the first time we've ever seen Batman and Superman on screen together.
Mm.
And I think there's something in that for me as like a fan of these characters for all my days. It was kind of cool just seeing them like team up.
Yeah, but I think it was a bad Superman and a Batman.
Fucking miserable Superman.
Yeah,
Snyder.
We've talked about this before, but he's not. He looks like Superman, but he's got no joy, and he also is a shit Clark Kent as well.
Superman's a character about
he makes Clark Kent cool. He's like, oh look, I'm Clark Kent, swanning around being a journalist. It's like, no, trip up and lose your glasses and stuff.
But like, say, Superman's supposed to be a character of hope, and there was no fucking hope in those films.
No.
Just none.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, lots of other things I could absolutely dive into in that film, but I want to go see it again. I think I really do want to go watch it a second time. I've seeing it again, aren't you?
I might go see it. If you go again, let me know.
I'd booked tickets for the IMAX weeks ago. Thinking, I'm definitely going to see this at the IMAX. But then you guys said, oh, we're going to see it on Friday. And I thought, fuck it, I'm waiting long enough for this.
I messaged Kutch.
Wednesday night.
Mate, do you want to go to a midnight show? Because I really fear spoilers. Just another thing, brief. But he was like, I'm too busy, I can't. I was like, fuck. But there's... the internet's been really good about this. There were much more spoilers for Infinity War than there were for this.
Friday, like, day at work, because I was having to be online getting bits and pieces for my work and stuff, and my phone were throwing things like, and explaining the end credits, and I was just like, no, fuck off. And like, again, because like my phone's so curated to what I look at, it throws up news stories and stuff. And it was just like, I kept seeing Avengers Endgame. It was like, don't fucking explain anything. It was it started becoming dangerous by the Friday. Like, the Thursday was all right, but it's amazing how quick that content starts going out and how quick the algorithms start figuring out that, oh, you want to see this?
It's but like, even articles are like, hey, we're going to talk about this. Spoilers below. Whereas I remember when Infinity War, there were just clear spoilers in
everywhere,
like
headlines.
It was fucking ridiculous. But anyway, so that's just a wee note.
Yeah.
So that's the last thing we'll talk about is that sound at the end of the credits.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I read about this on the internet, and apparently it was already been confirmed by the Russo brothers. It's the sound of Iron Man.
Well,
is it?
Did they
confirm that?
Yeah, they confirmed it.
Because I'd not read that they'd confirmed it. What I had
read people had said it. I went, oh shit, totally could be.
That it could be the noise of him, and just as a wee nod to that first film.
This is how it started, him building his suit.
But then somebody else said, or is it the noise of, say, I've forgotten the name of the character, Ironheart, the lass that builds her own Iron Man suit and becomes Ironheart as it is in the comic books. Is it a wink and a nod, sort of nod to her building her suit? Because that's another thing I was sort of saying, is like, they could easily bring her in now and do and that would be a good way to reboot the Iron Man stuff,
and then bloody
and it keeps
Pepper Potts could like give her a scholarship sort of thing.
She could like,
A
sort of maternal,
an updater suit and stuff.
That's something else that, just briefly, I absolutely loved was Pepper Potts coming in the rescue suit. Didn't expect that.
No,
because
they played it in the first one. She was like, "Oh my god, you can't go off and do this." Yeah. But then,
he had built the helmet that was introduced. In the first part of the film, building it for their anniversary, and I was like, "All right, okay." Didn't think about it any more than that. And then, she appears in the rescue suit.
Yeah.
And then when Tony's like coughing his guts up, dying, what I did love was that they had the Iron Family around them. They were the first people Spider-Man and Pepper.
Yeah.
They were the first three on the scene, and it was just, that was a nice little nod to the Iron Man, influenced characters as well. Yeah. Like, they had all them together, and then the others came in around it. It was just nice little things. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could talk about it forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, it was good. She sort of realised what Tony's been fighting for all these years. Yeah. I think, you know what? We've got to fucking do this, because this is the threat. he's been worried about all these years. So that's kind of his whole arc, you know. It's all
and also very briefly, his death scene was really good. So it was just like, you can rest now. It wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna miss you. But it was just like,
and that's it. Pepper was absolutely like, you've done what you need to do, and that's it.
You've saved.
Just something else that popped into my head was also the payoff with him and his dad when they would go back.
Yeah, that was really good.
Because again, I said that was a good character bit, because that's something that's been throughout the films. His relationship with his dad wasn't great.
Yeah.
Yet at the end of the day, his dad's helped him become the person he was.
Six original Avengers had their stuff. Had their arcs finished.
Yeah. Loads of people did.
It maybe was, not Scarlet Witch, but Black Widow, but she never really had an arc.
But they kind of did. She sacrificed herself for Barton, Barton, and believed in her. Really impressive.
Barton did that and got back to his family. To go along.
So good.
Iron Man, he helped stop the threat.
Yeah.
Thor, you know, met his mother.
They were all redeemed one way or another. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Like I say, because we will just keep talking about it forever and ever.
I think if you go and see it again, I think it's a film you need to watch twice.
I think we're going to see it again.
So I saw Infinity War twice, and there was stuff I missed on the first time.
Yeah,
and I think if you go again, you'll sort of make a lot more connections.
Just full of stuff. Yeah. Go see it. If you at all invested in these films, you will absolutely love it.
Yeah.
We've just spoiled the shit out of it for you, but I hope if you've seen it as well. Talk to us. Tell us what you think. Tell us, have you got any ideas, any theories? What were your thoughts? What were your, favourite moments from the film? Definitely let us know. And how would they do that?
They could go onto Facebook. Go to facebook.com/5cobpod, Twitter @5cob, Instagram 5cob, website www.5cob.co.uk, email ken@5cob.co.uk, or just fucking Google it.
See, you can do it without paper now.
You know what? This has come a long way. I come here, we've got professional mics, we've got a mixing desk, Jamie knows everything off by heart. I remember just recording it on Kutchy's phone. was that a Nexus 5?
Nexus 5.
Little crappy Nexus 5 phone, and hoping it didn't crash.
The only thing that hasn't improved is the quality of the content.
You should probably work on that.
We're on radio now. We're everywhere.
Probably need a lot of money to improve that, to be honest. That's going to be a large investment. We should probably get on the blower.
We'll get the Russo brothers to write for us.
Maybe go on the blower to Robbie Shea.
Right, let's see if Robbie can invest some more money. Robbie, if you want to get a couple of $100 million into us, then we won't complain. So I suppose that brings us to that time of the night where I have to ask, B, what's the motto this week?
Oh, fucking hell.
This still happens.
Do you still do mottos?
Usually it's fuck B. No, I'm kidding.
I very rarely listen to the end now, because I usually do it when I'm driving, and then it's like you're driving and you just switch the car off and then you forget to listen to the end bit again. So I always maybe listen to like 40 or 50 minutes of it, and that's it.
Good save.
Oh, God.
Come on, something.
Yeah.
I want to say something about Dave Rogers.
Yeah. Dave Rogers.
Fuck Dave Rogers.
It's good enough for me.
Yeah, I'm out.
Do you know what? You always talk about me hating Dave Rogers, but Dave's one of the nicest guys I've ever met. He's a generally decent guy, and he lives.
Why are you talking for your teeth just now?
Yeah.
Grinding them.
He's holding the couch so hard right at this moment in time.
Fingernails are right in the couch. But yeah, he's generally quite a good guy, but fuck off. Smug little face.
Oh, do. Good night.
Night.
Good night.
I am listening.
You are listening.
Oh, good. Wait.
Okay, listeners.
There we go.
I'm listening.
So, what did
Niall?
You think about- For fuck's sake.
That's an extra. Right.